Hello, I want to thank you for listening to the soulpreaching.com audio posts. In this one, I wanted to go back and look at a presentation that's really an article on soulpreaching.com right now, the three intertwining stories to exegete for effective sermons. Many times we emphasize the need to exegete the biblical story, and that's an important story to exegete. In fact, this is a very important story. We must do that. But there are other stories that really intertwine with the biblical story in the preaching moment that we need to exegete. By that I mean these other stories are relevant when we are preaching, because the people and ourselves, those of us who are preaching, all of us bring stories to the text, and so we should have some idea of these stories if we're going to exegete the text and preach to the people in effective ways. On this site and in other places, we spend a lot of time discussing exegeting the scripture for effective preaching. That's important. We talk about the four waves of biblical exegesis. That's a very important dimension to sermon preparation. However, we as preachers must also understand two other important narratives or stories that we need to understand if we're going to effectively preach to the context that we find ourselves in. In short, there are three stories that we should understand. Number one, there is exegeting the congregation's story. And we talk about this in sermon planning. Actually, we talk about the two that we're going to add in sermon planning. Who is the congregation? This really affects your preaching. You need to understand, for example, the denominational tradition that your church is a member of. You need to know and understand what are the issues that the denomination is currently addressing. You need to know and understand how this church fits into that tradition. Sometimes a church sees itself as an antagonistic relation with the congregation, with the denomination to which it is a member of. Sometimes it sees itself as a true believer. We are standing forth for the true beliefs of our denomination. Sometimes they see themselves as a reformer. All of these things change how we address the congregation. If it sees itself as a reforming agent, how do you address that? What are some of the issues that a reforming agent is dealing with? If it sees itself as true believers with its tendencies towards legalism or tendencies towards self-righteousness, what are some of the issues there? If it sees itself as a like I said, the reforming agent with other tendencies, or there's different tendencies when you look at that, when you look at the congregation and how it fits into the denomination, you need to know if there are any issues in that particular church besides the denomination. Are there any other issues? Has leadership left the church? Has leadership betrayed the church? Has individuals, is it a common theme for betrayal in the church? That's going to get a different type of emphasis than a church that is not dealing with such issues. You need to know who has the power in the church. Who are the leaders in the church? Have they always been the leaders? How do they use that leadership? Is there conflict in the church? Why is there conflict in the church? What needs to be done in this church to move it from the conflict that it currently has? Are there struggles in the church? These are all questions that we must ask ourselves as we seek to address this particular congregation with the word from God. It is important to ask these questions and others like them. Don't act like you think you know the answer without working to really find the answer to the question. You need to do the real work of answering. Don't assume that legalism is a problem in your church just because it may be a problem in your denomination or you think it's a problem in your denomination. Sometimes we see things because we are dealing with those issues, and so we think others are dealing with the same issues. They may be dealing with something else. Don't assume that your church's number one problem is misuse of congregational power when the problem might be you having misuse of power and not them. The main point is that you don't assume, you ask the questions and seek to elicit the answers from the congregation in some form. You do this so that you will address the people who are actually sitting in front of you. That's the first story, the story of the congregation. The next story is the story of, the story of the preacher. Who are you? What are you dealing with? What are the issues that you are addressing in your life? What are the issues that you are struggling with? Sometimes, as I said before, we assume others are struggling with the same issues, and we fight and we preach sermons where we are preaching to ourselves and we are never addressing the people who are dealing with different issues. If you don't analyze yourself, you can easily turn the pulpit into simply a bully pulpit where you bludgeon the people for not following, agreeing with you. When in reality, God may be using the congregation to help you to see some of your own issues. And this is an important point that I want to bring up because it comes up over and over and over again. We as preachers sometimes assume that others who are not preachers have no right to help us to move forward, to help us to see some of the issues that we have. We say that they have no right to tell us anything about such issues, which really is problematic because it leaves the preacher in a position often where the preacher cannot be corrected. But secondly, it sets aside the reality that we in the Protestant tradition hold to the priesthood of all believers. Are we all in the priesthood? If we are, then the question becomes, will we allow ourselves to be corrected? Will we allow God to use whatever method God chooses to use? But more than that, let's get back. What is your theological worldview? What do you know and believe? It is important to answer these questions to make sure that you are still preaching that which you are certain of and not things that you used to believe. Look at your own story, and again, don't make assumptions. Answer the real questions and be real. Be true. If you are having issues with God at a particular point, your sermons should be different than the times you ain't. What am I talking about? And I'm trying to be careful here, because you definitely don't want to teach or preach agnosticism or something in the pulpit. But what you do want to preach is that which you do know. If you're certain of God's goodness, well, then you can preach a sermon. But if it's during a time where you are not so certain of God's goodness, then maybe you ought to preach a different sermon. Maybe you're going to preach a sermon about justice at that point. Maybe you're going to preach. The important point is to be real. Don't get up there talking stuff that you don't even believe your own self. Be true. Be true to truth. And only preach that which you know. Look at your own story. Don't make assumptions. Answer real questions. That's another one related to what I just said. Answer real questions. Why would God allow such pain in the world? Something is wrong when you can never ask that question. We ask it in our minds. Let's ask the real questions. How could a God of love allow such things to happen? Answer. I should say address, because some of these, the answer is beyond, and really some of these questions, the answer is within the realm of faith. But struggle with the question and address the question. People come to our services after paying tithes, or whatever your tradition calls them, pays these to the church, and yet at the end of the day they've lost their jobs. Is your only answer that you weren't faithful? Is your answer the answer of Job's friends? Is your answer that you are arrogant for asking such a question? It's problematic, and the reason why I say this is because I just heard this past weekend. I heard it. Someone was accused. The book of Habakkuk, the prophet was accused of arrogance for simply asking the questions. Asking questions. If we're real with ourselves, we ask ourselves. Asking the questions that we want the answer to. Ask the questions, and like I said, the answer may be we understand it better by and by. That may be the question, that may be the answer that we come to, but before you get there, you got to be like the slaves, where you've got to sing. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long way from home. Sometimes you have to be like Jesus on the cross, where Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You may get to the other side of what I'm saying. You may get over there where we come to the conclusion that I may not fully understand down here, but I'm going to hold on to the belief that God is going to do something. I'm going to hold on to. You may come to that conclusion, but you get there after asking the question. You don't get there by ignoring the question. You don't get there. We are preachers. God has called us to come, in a sense, with the issues and hurts and pains of our congregation. And one of the hurts and pains we have, one of them, is a question of why. some of us, as we exit, and I'm trying, I veered a little away, but as we go back to exegeting the preacher's story, many of us have issues asking the question because of our own issues. What are your issues? What are your congregation's issues? And then you go to the scripture. Well, I shouldn't say then, but you go to these three stories: the scripture story, the preacher's story, and the congregation's story. They all have relevance to the sermon that will be preached. Depending on your intellectual tradition, you may not say that it has relevance to the scripture. That would depend on where you're coming from, whether you're postmodern or not, or whatever. But all of us can agree that it has relevance to, I shouldn't say all of us, but many of us can agree that it has relevance to how we present and what scriptures we present and what issues we deal with in our presentation. So again, three intertwining stories that are going to help us come up with effective sermons: the congregation story, the preacher's story, and the biblical story. Ultimately, be real. God bless you.